Blah, blah, blah. That is my Eddie Vedder version of Grey Sky Eternal. All right, folks, it's Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today again by the same cast that was with me for that Papa's Football podcast. If you've bought into the whole Papa program and you're listening to everything I put
Papa
out there.
The Papa Network.
Yeah, then you are familiar with the fact that I had not only Howard Flood with me. Hello, Howard.
Good to be back.
I was joined by Tim Trueheart.
Love you guys.
And Matt Doyen.
What's up, fellas?
Everyone's Twitter handle, I'm at Papa's Basement. Howard's at What the F and Heezy. Tim Trueheart is at Tim Trueheart. See, that man keeps it simple. I don't know what's...
I actually changed my handle recently.
The other two brainstems. What?
I changed it to Vinnie Van Gogh for my Indiegogo campaign.
God damn
You're
it.
Welcome.
Okay, yeah, so every bit of traffic that's ever been pointed your way now counts for nothing. There were two people out there that wanted to follow you, and now they can't. I hope you feel horrible. All right, and you want to get a hold of Matt, it's at the Doyen Ian, like a Kardashian, but a Doyenian.
There you go.
Yeah, Doyonian.
I'm going to rip you off on that one if you don't mind. That's how I'm going to start describing it to people.
Exactly. Do it. You can be like, I'm a male Kardashian, except I'm not morbidly obese. Because that's the only one, right, is Rob, who just kind of, I don't want to say ate himself to death.
Did he?
Basically, you know, because first of all, he's living. But he became a huge blimpo, as I recall.
Yeah, he used to be quite handsome, apparently.
Don't forget Chloe.
He was a strike. Well, Chloe's actually gotten better. Look, you started at the bottom, now you're somewhere, right? It's Chloe's, that's the Sasquatch one, right?
Yeah.
Right. She was with Lamar Odom.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. She is better than she's ever been. Now, again, I'm not saying I like her now, not saying I liked her then, but that turd was polished to some extent. A little something went into that.
A honed finish.
Yeah, I mean, Kim's the winner there.
For sure.
But I feel Kim was better 3-4 years ago. Mm. Like, a little too much work has gone into that face at this point. Plus, she's had a kid, which not.
When I was, if you would have told somebody 5 years ago, if you would have went up to somebody and been like, hey, Howard, guess what? Kim Kardashian is going to get with Kanye West, and then they're going to make a baby and name it Northwest.
Yeah.
You would have been like, get the heck out of here, man. Are you crazy?
That's a stupid joke. Try again.
Right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is a weird reality that we're living in with these Kardashians.
Well, I think what cracks me up about that is apparently for years, Kanye would pipe out other broads while watching the Kim tape.
That's weird.
Like, for inspiration. But, like, how do you finally get your hands on that chick? And it's like, I'm going to ignore the fact that for years, to get myself aroused, I had to watch you get porked by another man. And now I'm stepping into the role.
It's weird, too, because Ray J released a track about that, didn't he? I haven't actually
thought
of it.
Not just that. Like, that dude's packing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not John the Wad, but he's close. I mean, he's certainly putting it to that woman.
He's gifted.
Yeah.
Do you think he still watches the video? Do you think it still takes the video even when he's got the real thing right in front of him? His brain's like so hooked on it that he's just like, I'm a two-dimensional.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked. I really wouldn't be shocked. I mean, it's not like some weird cuckold thing. It was done in the past and you've already watched it 500 times. It wasn't like some surprise, like he went through her iPhone 6 months after the marriage and was like, my God, dear, what is this? He's watched it in and out. It's just weird because, Kanye is kind of, I feel so weird for like being able to quote every black celebrity's penis size here, but, I think Kanye kind of has something as much as I hate him. If I recall, he's packing somewhat too.
I think that when you become that famous and successful, I think that all the guys at that level have big dicks.
Yeah, maybe. You just need it. You need like a,
I think it gives you that much confidence.
The literal
to
big dick, yeah, not a metaphorical
other,
one.
Other individuals.
Except for the comedians. The comedians, the smaller, the better.
My penis.
No, well, I don't know about, what's his face, Cat Williams, but, who's the really shrimpy dude?
Kevin Hart?
Yeah. Kevin Hart apparently has a huge one too.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Stands to reason.
Yeah, Jim Norton from Opie and Anthony was talking about that a lot, and he was saying, like, the only thing I can console myself with is it must look retarded on such a little man. Just like a baby with massive genitals.
I mean, if anyone, I guess, could make the claim for a third leg, it would be that. Now, Kim, though, do you think that she can get away with sending, like, naked pics to anybody, and Kanye can't say anything because she can say, hey, you know, that video's out there, anyone can already get it.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you want to be a square about it, I guess you could be like, honey, we're married now. You can't do that. But yeah, how do you make that case? Like, I know you professionally shot a tape where you're getting porked, and then that put you on the Fame map. It would be a little hypocritical.
Kanye still gets road tail when he's on tour.
It's got to be an open relationship, kind of like Will Smith, Jada Pinkett, you know?
Well, hopefully it's like the good kind where you get to screw around and she doesn't. Like, that's the kind of open relationship I can handle. Like, she might get to ogle the guy who's doing the plumbing, and then I smack her for being a whore. And, you know, I can just sleep around. No, it's weird. First of all, to go back to the Kanye thing, there was they had said on MySpace back in the day, girls would hit him up, and he would just be like, oh, here's my dick. Like, here's me sitting, you know, at the computer. Here's my dong. And I think that photo made the round, so it's not like I'm just making it up for the hell of it.
Okay.
But, yeah, it is weird. I guess even if you've got a huge one, I probably wouldn't like to see my chick get nailed by another just huge one. I mean, it beats not having a huge one.
Would you like to see a video of your chick getting nailed out by, like, Jerry Stiller? I mean, would that make you feel better?
I mean, that'd be funny.
He stopped short.
Yeah, like, if we just put some silly music in the background, I feel like I could get behind that a lot more. I think the ideal for me would be, like, the Vince Neil, Janine Lindemuehler video. I'm going very deep on the celeb in quotes sex tapes here. But Janine was like one of my all-time porn crushes in the day. And she made a sex tape with Vince Neil. And Vince was just not big. I'm not saying he's like a microbe or anything, but it really wasn't anything impressive. And that would have been perfect because I would have been like, all right, I can cope with this. I can follow that act.
You want to follow Vince Neil? You know how...
Well, first of all, Home Sweet Home, if you've ever heard that song, yes. I would love to follow Vince Neil. But I'm just saying it's better than watching her with, who was it? Who was the Nazi guy that was married to Sandra Bullock, James, whatever?
Oh, Jesse James?
Yeah, Jesse James. Yeah. He apparently had like a real harpoon too. Like, again, look, I'm going to acknowledge the fact my chick has probably been with guys bigger than me. I just don't want to know it. I don't want to see it in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You don't want the other friend.
All right, so yeah. That's a degree of difference worse than just knowing she'd been with a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I've, you know, you're not a virgin. I'm okay with that.
But the long dong is going to really upset you there.
Yeah, well, okay, do you guys...
I'd love to talk about this.
Yeah,
what's the question?
Get into the topic.
Sure, well, I can go.
It'd be so great if we actually had subjects and topics on this show. I mean, do you care about a girl's history whatsoever, especially if it was like she was with some profoundly athletically talented guy, or...
You know what? I'm only dating what I would consider to be like a civilian kind of girl now. Uh-huh. And what I mean by this is, I mean, girls that shouldn't have headshots or anything like that. Like, they shouldn't be crazy girls that are doing, you know, acting and whatnot.
Yeah.
Normal girls.
You want, like, the cute secretary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want somebody that's, like, they don't know how attractive they are.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm still a little disturbed if I find out that, like, you know, she's been involved in, like, you know, some sort of, you know, Duke gangbang or something like that. It would blow me away. You know, I'd be like, I can't handle this.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's a little bit of the premise of Chasing Amy. Like, even when a girl who's had a wild past then is like, cause my chick, my current one, has done some wild stuff. And for me, it's not so much like I see that in my mind's eye and I'm grossed out cause I've just done horrible piggish stuff myself. Right. And I'm like, look, I'm not going to call the kettle black here. But I just hold it against, like, wait, you did all that, and, like, I can't get a blowjob after dinner? Like, that's more, it's more like, hey, yeah, you did have a hoary past. Can we do a little of that? Right. Like, do you have to be a grandmother with me?
For me, I'm just like, I'm scared I wouldn't be able to measure up to the things that she's already dealt with. And that's why I
know I can't. Like, I don't know when that switch flipped in my head. There was a time when I was younger and I was in much better shape and stuff. I'm like, dude, I will go all night. I will give it to you. It'll be great. I don't look great, but it'll be great. And I don't know when the switch flipped that I'm just like, I don't care. You know what experience you're going to get with me? I'm going to be so upfront about it being lousy. You're going to get honesty with me. That's about it.
These are the cards that are on the table.
Ugh. Yeah. You're not going to get off, but you will get an honest appraisal of that fact ahead of time.
Get ready for 20 minutes of mediocre sex.
20.
That's not mediocre time-wise.
Yeah,
that's pretty solid.
That was John in 08.
At least then her walk of shame, though, turns into a walk of pride. She's like, that John, you know? He was up front with me, and I appreciate that in my business dealings.
During football season, she's like, God, I didn't even miss kickoff yet. She's just running back home. Howard, you, girls past?
I mean, it doesn't bother me as far as, like, one size is more offensive than the other. I think that's the thing that kind of caught my ear from you, where you felt like there's a difference.
Yeah,
out that
exactly.
Part.
Like, her wild past, my current chick, and, you know, just some college antics, nothing. She wasn't like a former porn star or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, less of all mine. As much wild crap as she did, as long as everyone was like average or whatever, I would be fine with that. It's almost like I don't want her to find out that penises that big exist. That's like, I want them to be something mythological, like Yeti.
Yeah.
I guess the only one that would really, like, now that we're thinking about things, because I was like, would celebrities bother me? I guess maybe some of these 80s rockers, but only for the fact that they were really skeezy back then and didn't use protection. People realized, like, HIV could affect straight people, I wouldn't want, like, if you told me that, yeah, Vince Neil was on the list, I'd be like, whoa, no, that would be a problem for me.
Can it really? I remember Slash in the day, and his quote about AIDS was, we all just looked at David Lee Roth, and if that dude didn't have anything, we all felt safe.
But yeah, like any of the, all right, if one of the 80s rockers were on our list, that would concern me just from a health standpoint. But you know, you get the test back, whatever after that, I guess.
I could see that.
With like actors or other celebrities, the only ones I think that would bother me, strangely enough, would be
Yaphet Kotto.
Now that I think about it, like NBA powered forwards and centers. And it's not even like a dick size thing. It's more just like, it's dick size plus the fact the dude is 7 feet tall. I don't know. There's something about that where it's like, why are you with me again? It seems like you have a height fetish.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we're together.
Oh no. If you're with that chick, that would be like a lesbian relationship for her. She's like, I'm with this dainty belle.
I miss Greg Oden. You know what I mean? <It's> just... You saw his dick pic, right?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and I think Santonio Holmes as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I'll look at anything. I really don't care. I mean, like, everyone who's like, I can't believe you would look at JWoww's photos. It's such a violation of her policy. I'll look at whatever, dude. You got a picture of Miles Davis's penis? Throw it over here.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't bother me. I guess Santonio Holmes isn't, like, the tallest of people in the world. So
he's pretty big, though.
Well, but I'm saying, like, the actual combo for some reason of, like, a 7-footer with like the massive schlong is like crazy compared to just like wide receiver, whatever.
the huge dong and the hellish amount of stamina from any athlete.
Could you imagine following like Shaq and his wife are divorced, and his wife is like 5 feet tall? I would have the hardest time like going out on a date with Shaq's ex-wife because it's like you're with Shaq for a while, and forget like the jokes of like how massive she must be after years of being with Shaq. But just like.
Not only that, she's popped out Shaq kids, right?
Right, yeah. Big-headed kids.
Yeah, like a young Shaqling has to come out at 56 pounds.
I think she was with him because she liked it.
She had to.
So why are we out on a date? I would worry that there was something wrong there. Yeah.
I love the underwhelming pictures, though. Do you remember when Chris Cooley tweeted out a picture of his playbook and he just happened to not have any boxers on or anything?
You see
this little dick, and it was probably just a comparison thing with the thigh, but it's like this little itty bitty thing.
I was just happy because I'm like, finally, something representative.
That's exactly it. And you're like, hey, now, okay, let's bring this back to the mean. I don't look as bad suddenly.
Matt, you got any, you're with a chick right now. You ever think about her past? Does it eat you up inside?
It doesn't, to be honest, and I don't like to set too many rules like that, you know, because I think I'm just going to set myself up for disappointment. And I say, you want to be around, you want to think about the celebrities, fantasize about that, the better for me, you know, because it's like dangling that little carrot out there, and they're striving for that, you're striving for that, and then you're just kind of there.
Striving, then settling.
Exactly. Exactly. Settle for this. And if they ever attain something like that, I'd be shot.
Yeah,
shot.
Good for them.
Oh, yeah. But you realize it's not going to happen, and you say, hey, right here.
Yeah, exactly. Here's cold, hard reality.
That's exactly
I am your cold
Get
shower, baby.
Get a spoonful
baby.
Of that.
I mean, because we talk on the show about what it would be like to be a celebrity. It's just, they got to be, like,
constantly. Why do we have to talk about it? We live it. Continue.
But they're constantly on the hunt for strange. Like, even if they're hitting, like, other A-listers out in Hollywood, it's just like, that's been 2-3 times we've hooked up now. Who else is around? Because this is getting boring. I just don't see how any of those folks can manage to stay married for, well, more than a couple months, really. Like, I sort of get how these things break down quickly.
Well, they're artsy personalities to begin with. You know what I mean? They're very like, oh, wherever the wind takes me, man. And then like, yeah, all of a sudden on the set of True Blood, you have Vampire Bill married to, whatever the hell her name is, Gaptooth. And what, we really think that's going to last beyond the show? For God's sake, people, come on.
Absolutely. And I also think, like, God, these celebs, like, they're so handled all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they have people telling them yes, yes, yes all the time. And then you have these two polar, you know, these two strong personalities boom in a relationship. Oh, man, there's no way it's going to last. There's just no way.
You're right, because there's never room for compromise in the world of these people. And that's what got them there to begin with, to some extent. I mean, if they...
Their egos.
If they were sane and able to compromise a lot, then they probably wouldn't have risen to the top. That is why I'm doomed.
Well, Tim, you were saying before the show that you find yourself to be a little more conservative, maybe, than you would have expected.
Yeah.
And I find myself to be kind of the opposite, and, you know, being maybe somewhat of a narcissist will push these beliefs on everybody and all in Hollywood. And I think that a lot of these uptight celebrities and just people in general are probably just letting loose all the time. And so I'm never surprised when it was the Fappening happened a few weeks back, things like that.
Oh, it's kept going.
What was that? Not phased at all.
What, the Fappening?
Yeah, what was that? Was that the Jennifer Lawrence pick?
Yeah.
Among many others.
There's been several releases since.
Okay, I got a picture of Jennifer Lawrence sent to me by somebody that I work with at the Improv. One of the chicks there, she's just like, hey, did you see these pictures? And I was like, no. She's like, I got one. And she shows me. I was like, could you email me that?
Yeah.
So right. She emails it to me, and she actually sent it to me as a text, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, don't do that, because if I'm just going through my phone and my girlfriend sees that, I'll get in trouble. Guess what happens? She sees it. She flips.
She's like, you're banging Jennifer Lawrence?
She was like, why did you get that? I was like, what? She didn't text me that. What do you mean? I got in so much trouble over that. She's worried about the stuff, like, cause she's just like a normal girl, you know? Trying to compare herself to Jennifer Lawrence.
So your heart probably skipped a beat, you know, when you received the picture because of what it is, but did the fact that it existed shock you in any way at all?
Not at all. And yeah. I was so upset with her for being upset with me for having it, knowing that I'm a normal guy. Do you understand? This is just a pic of Jennifer Lawrence taking a selfie nude.
Yeah, but I can see definitely why she was pissed that you're getting it from another chick.
That's why she was really mad.
Yeah.
Because I was like, do you know how much porn I look at? This picture of her is like a vanilla ice cream cone.
Oh, yeah. This is exactly a teddy bear's hug.
Right.
I'm like, stuff really?
Yeah, no, but I asked her to just send me it because I just wanted some,
absolutely.
A nice little JPEG.
But I can see how a chick's brain works.
Yeah.
It's like, from her perspective, the girl sends this and it's like, oh, I'm so horny. And then it's like, well, I'm not J-Law, but you want to do me instead?
I understand it more now, actually. Good.
You actually had that conversation recently, didn't you, John?
Oh, which one? I've had a lot. Not a lot of sex, a lot of conversation. Which one?
No, the one where you're having the exchange as far as, hey, I just sent you this pic from Jennifer Lawrence. Hey, by the way, what do you think? No?
Probably nothing I should talk about on air, as I recall. If you're referencing what I think.
No, I'm not. I'm just joking with you, man.
What I think you're mentioning. that didn't happen. None of that happened. I'm a good boy. Actually, the best Fappening thing that's come out recently, this one for some reason got zero attention. And I don't know why, like 10 leaked Jenny McCarthy pictures.
Oh.
And I know she's gone all off the anti-vaxxing deep end, but good God, man, back when I was jacking it to Singled Out as a kid, I had no idea she would age like this, like 20 years later. She is not bad looking. And I mean, there are some graphic photos of her. The worst part is
really?
It's two of like this skinny, dorky guy who has pierced nipples, like barbells through his nips.
No.
Yeah, and I'm like, really, what is this, 90?
She's with this guy?
Yeah, I'm like, do you sing for Better Than Ezra? Like, why do you have pierced nipples? It reminds me of Lars in the Until It Sleeps video. We're going to go deep with a Metallica reference. Yeah, and this guy's just like wailing on her from behind and making like this goofy face as he's doing it. And she's looking sexy as hell, taking this photo, like the view, you know, the camera's on the pillow with her, looking back. She looks gorgeous taking it. And then there's this guy behind her who looks like he's about to go down a roller coaster. Like almost has his hands in the air. Yeah, he looks so goddamn ridiculous. But look up, if you can, on Reddit, the new Jenny McCarthy photos. She is stunning. I realize she's a simpleton, but oh, she is good looking.
Do you remember how they used to sell her as being the smart supermodel? Something like that. They're like, and she's smart.
I don't remember the smart so much as she was funny and silly. Like, I remember she had a comedy show for a bit, and it's like, it was like, oh, I'm the funny girl, but I'm picking my nose.
She would burp and stuff too.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this?
Shut the F up. Just put the ball gag in so I don't have to deal with this. It really, it drives me nuts. Like, a cute girl thinks she can get away with murder because she's hot. Like, guys will say anything. Like, I'm a bit of a painter now, and it's just 5,000 guys like, oh, I can really see the influences. Yeah, it's just,
I hate it because, yeah, she's gotten so much credit for, you know, being the smart supermodel, whatever. And now, like, she's on this anti-vaccine kick where people are actually listening to people of her ilk.
There's counties
in Hollywood.
Yeah, there's counties in Southern California where, like, it's dipped below the range of where you can consider an area has been vaccinated for something. Like, measles and mumps are now spreading rampantly through parts of Orange and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's worse than third world countries in certain pockets. Yeah.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's, again, and it's funny, if you look at the charts of where, like, kids are contracting this stuff, it'll be like, at Whole Foods and farmers markets, it's just all these hippy-dippy joints. Not that there's anything wild about Whole Foods, I'll go there and just, you know, eat some gelato and take a crap and call it a day. But seriously,
Well, Jenny McCarthy's not a doctor, and I think these people that are just, like, absorbing information from her are being a little bit ignorant about it, you know? Because they're your kids.
She's famous for, like, showing that she had a brown beeve back in 94.
She was married to Jim Carrey, right?
I
think they just dated for a while.
I mean,
he's also a damn mental patient. Oh, my God.
He's an anti-vaxxer as well.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have kids. If I were ever trying to have kids, the prospect of having an autistic kid, and if you have an autistic kid, that's fine. I'm sure they're great. But the prospect of that being a reality would scare the crap out of me. I'm a competitive asshole. I really wouldn't want my kid, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so
I
have
to
live life against all these other competitive assholes.
Well, I'd
want
my kid to come out and, like, fight for A's and stuff like that and try to be the funny kid in class. And instead, I have to be like, oh, you didn't cringe when I hugged you, 8-year-old John Jr. That's a victory today. I don't know, man. I can't do that.
Your kids are going to come out excellent, but because, you know, they're coming out of John, right? So I don't think you have
I'll pop them out of my urethra.
I don't know. I mean, like, there's so many kids that are born that, you know, the vaccines are honestly, they're good. And people that are freaking out about the vaccines, I think they're a little bit of just paranoid, to be completely honest. Like, you know, I don't worry that my kid would have that one gene that would make my kid get, like, a disease or something like that. I'm like, really? Really? Well, then I guess it wasn't meant to be. And I'll say that about my own kids that don't exist.
Okay.
Yeah. My understanding of the whole anti-vax movement is that there was one study out of, you know, hundreds if not thousands of studies that showed a possibility that there was a link. And yet the data for that one study was shown to be flawed. And I believe even the author has admitted that his study was flawed.
Yeah, so there was that. I think there's another one that came out recently that said, again, there might be a link. But if you're looking at simple numbers, it does appear that it's for every study that says there might be something, there's, without exaggeration, 900 that says there's no link.
It's in the same category as climate change right now. You know, the number of scientists who say that climate change is non-existent is probably around the same as the numbers who would claim. It's probably actually harder to find an expert who would say vaccines don't work versus finding ones that rally against climate change. But, you know, you have people who are basing an entire half of our society in, like, this movement that's trying to, like, win the majority on less than a tenth of a percent of scientific opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working somehow. It's stunning that this is like Fox News is able to push, or whoever else's agenda. Like, I don't know where the anti-vaccine movement falls on the networks, on the major news networks, but
yeah,
it's crazy.
I forget who wants to lay claim to that. I don't know if it's like a hippie thing, or if it's like a right wing, the government's trying to make our babies retarded thing.
It's just silly because like these, like, just to listen to Jenny McCarthy, I think is silly because of that. Like, so you're listening to her, you're kind of just a dummy. Because if you look at it, it's like, if 99% of the people are okay, I think it's good. They're going like black or white with it on mm-hmm. that vaccine thing. If there's a potential of it, then no, I'm not going to do it. But it's like, okay, if you sneeze near my sandwich and 99% of it's okay, and there's like a 1% booger on my sandwich, mm-hmm. you're saying like you're not going to eat the sandwich at all, even if you're starving.
I'll have the booger sandwich.
Yeah, I'll have the booger sandwich too. Come on, man. It's my kid, you know?
You can drop it in the toilet and just wring it out.
I think they're dummies. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. It just sucks because you want to root for her because it's, she's still so pumpable.
She's got boobs, yeah.
Good ones, too, and a nice dome. I like her face.
She's good. She's good looking.
Yeah.
That's all she is, though. She's
good looking. And if you find those photos, I can testify to the fact it's popping down there.
Don't give her more than she's due, though. That's what I'm telling people right now. It's a true heart saying here. Because I love you. True heart. Come on.
Matt, what's up? You look like you wanted to jump into something.
I think that she is, like you say, an attractive spokeswoman, and people like that get leverage in the country, and I think that you have to look more at the message rather than the messenger. And so imagine what I like to do, 400-pound, sweaty, bald man saying the very same facts to you, somebody who
could
be... Get
that silly ass out of my face, that's what I'd say.
I think I'd be listening to that guy, that's what I'm saying, because if this guy's got the degrees, this guy's got what it takes scientifically to back it up, much more prone to believe it, or can read about it in a credible journal, something like that, rather than Jenny McCarthy, because that woman is just going to distract me.
There's your doyenian-ism. See, I just stole Trueheart-ism. Now he's got shit.
Nice.
Sorry, Howard, what's up?
I was going to say, you can make up anything that causes autism, like this spike that we've had in recent years in, like, reported cases. You could just blame it on we have more cell phones. Maybe it's, like, the 4G network mm-hmm. that's suddenly, like, ruining everybody's...
I mean, if that's
sperm.
The case, then what's up? Autistic son of mine.
I made that up, John. I made that up. I just pointed to something that arose
convincing.
Recently.
Not gonna lie, it sounded convincing.
You could just make up anything that's appeared
that
in technology in the last
Nards?
15 years, and then that's it. So like, oh, vaccines have improved in the like last couple decades. That must be it. Well, so is cell phone technology. Maybe it's laptops and tablets. I don't know what it is, but there's so many things that we could fabricate and just say that these things are causally related.
It could be that there's more the parents are waiting longer to have the kids, so then the fathers are older, so then the fathers of older kids have damaged sperm, and now those kids that are born are more likely to have Asperger's.
That's
one of the more things that they're linking it to.
That
you know?
Is scientifically shown at this point. Yeah, that's one of the major things that they've been able to show conclusively more. But yeah,
it's exasperating. Talking about celebrities, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about this before the show. I am a huge fan of Boardwalk Empire, and I was going to come at this with the whole shtick of, like, I don't think anyone else watches that show. And then I figured you guys would counter me and say, no, we're all fans, but as if to prove my point, none of you watch the show.
Yeah.
And what blew me away last night, if anyone's watching this final season, and those that don't know the show, it stars a looker, blue-eyed devil, Steve Buscemi, really a beaut of a man. But I guess the whole concept of the final season is almost this mirroring of The Godfather Part 2, where we have the present and then we do these flashbacks to Buscemi's childhood for the first 4 episodes, I think. And then last night, we jumped to Buscemi around age 23, 24. And I don't think there is an actor with less ego and more about the art than Steve Buscemi after watching this episode, because the guy they got to play him at age 24 looks like a pedophile vampire, to put it nicely. It's maybe the creepiest son of a bitch I've ever seen. And on top of that, not only does he look like Nosferatu, they put 4 tombstones in for his front teeth. And if I'm Steve Buscemi, I'm like, great. So you not only take this ugly son of a bitch, you then put these horrible teeth in him to ugly him up even more. And then voila, you have young me.
You know, you showed us that right before we came in studio. And looking at it, now I'm wondering if they actually got a mold of his teeth in order for that guy to then wear the identical teeth that are in Steve Buscemi's mouth.
It reminded me of if you ever watched Looney Tunes as a kid, and I think they had like cartoon Humphrey Bogart every so often in the episodes. And the whole way they did him was just like draw a short man with big juicy lips and then like the biggest damn front teeth you've ever seen.
This might seem like an insult though to him, but I only saw the brief clip on the monitor. Was that not Buscemi?
There you go. There you go. That, now,
I'm pretty sure it was just him in makeup with the little molded tombstone teeth on.
I believe it was a different guy.
I thought he was wearing a kickboxing mouthpiece, and that was the teeth.
No, that was all supposed to be normal teeth. And not only that, that was the big reveal last night. Like, again, the first four episodes, we see this guy as a young kid. He's like 10. And it's, you know, old-timey show. So it's like, oh, I'm young Steve Buscemi. I'm using an outhouse. And then time advances, and it's like 1909, and we see this young sheriff's deputy, and we see him from the side, and we kind of hear the voice. And I'm like, I think they're going for young Steve Buscemi here. And then how do we know it's definitely Steve Buscemi? He's like, he gives the character name. He says, well, I am Nucky Thompson, ma'am. But they also make him stick out the goddamn teeth. As if, like, this is the signature. Look at this. It'd be like, who's it, Michael K., whoever played Omar on The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like if they had young him and he turns to the camera and he just has the scar from eyebrow to chin. He'd be like, oh, I know who he's supposed to be. That's who it is with Buscemi, man. It's like, look at these tombstones they shoved into this guy's mouth. It drives me nuts that show doesn't get a lot of love. You guys debate me on this. Do people on average just not like watching old-timey crap for some reason?
I get bored with period pieces, you know, personally. I know Leonardo DiCaprio does a ton of them, too.
And it's weird. There's, like, this sweet spot of times that we don't care about. Because you could say, in its own weird way, Game of Thrones is just an old-timey period piece, right?
It's more fantasy, but yeah.
Yeah, it's fantasy, but it's still medieval, kind of, to some extent. Like, I don't know what it is. We cannot bring ourselves to watch junk. And it's like they throw us a bone. The women are all properly groomed because you see a lot of nudity. And for some reason, they shave their pits and all the good parts. But I don't know why. Like,
that's how you got to sell it, though, for us.
Oh, absolutely. Same with, again, it's the same principle as Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
It's like for some reason you have Ygritte, the little redhead. And when she finally gets naked, like her pits are shaved. She's groomed down there. You know, the one that was riding around Jon Snow. Somehow she doesn't have, you know, the muff of a woman who's been riding a horse for 4 months through the tundra. And then he goes down on this chick who, again, was riding a horse and wearing leather pants. And he's just like, this tastes divine. Let's continue doing it. Now, I don't know about you. I wouldn't go down on a chick after the gym.
Nor would I.
Yeah. And this chick, yeah, has saddle crotch from the springtime. Riding around Kingdom Come, and the whole culmination of their sex scene was he dives on it.
This isn't Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't watch it a lot, but aren't like the winters like up to like 3 years long in that show?
Well, the whole concept is their seasons are very screwed up, I think,
right.
And they have like almost a nonstop spring, and then the whole catchphrase of like winter is coming. That's because, yeah, the winters can run like 10 years.
So that could have been
junk.
Even longer than we're assuming.
Yeah, exactly. She's wearing snow pants, hasn't bathed in months. And again, they're riding and riding and riding, like a dusk till dawn thing. And then they finally hook up.
Well, put yourself in that guy's shoes. You're horny. Back in the time, you got to take what you can get.
Well, I guess back then, yeah, you just assume that was like normalcy. I look at it now, it blows my mind. But yeah, Howard, you're kind of like an artsy film type guy, or at least you used to be.
Yeah, I watched 20 minutes of the first episode of Boardwalk Empire, and it moved too slowly for me. And I just decided that I couldn't really give it time, I guess, because I thought it was just going to take too long to develop. So I think the problem, though, with shows like that is, let's say you would convince me that I should have watched this sooner than today. Because it's been on how long since that first episode?
This is year number 5.
It's
fifth season, so it's probably been at least 6-7 years.
If at any point you'd actually persuaded me to tune back in, how easily could I have gotten back into the story?
I don't know, man. You probably would have had a... Did you ever tap into The Sopranos late in its run?
But I started with The Sopranos, and then I would get bored with it, and I could come back because I watched the first season.
I'll be honest. I think you could have just joined it. I think I started Game of Thrones season 2. I think I started Sopranos season 4.
Game of Thrones, I was able to like come in the middle, and that was pretty compelling when I came in the middle of it. But I don't know about this show if really you could pick up in the middle. Because when I heard summaries of what was going on in the show, I feel like you just walk in and your sense would be like, I've missed so much. I kind of want to go back. But oh, wait, it's kind of boring at first, right? Like, did you really enjoy Boardwalk Empire for the first couple episodes?
I did, but you know me. I have faith in HBO. Tim, it seems like you don't give a damn about them.
I like HBO.
This is the end of our friendship.
No. You know what? I was thinking about The Wire, and I was thinking about how it was tough, I think, for some people maybe to go in like later seasons because it kind of like started in the center and rippled out, you know?
The Wire, more than a lot of shows, I feel was strange to get into after several seasons because it really flushed a lot of its main characters into these random tangential roles by season 3 and 4. And I came in, I want to say, for just seasons 4 and 5 initially. And, you know, once in a while, we'll see like 2 seconds of Avon Barksdale, and it's supposed to be this scene that has this big emotional resonance. And I'm just like, who the hell's that son of a bitch? And then I go right back to watching Mayor Carcetti. I'm like, he's the star of this picture.
Oh, jeez. You know? Yeah. Question real quick. I don't know. I hope I'm not like driving us off the rails, but
there are none. Go.
You ever see Oz? And what did you think of Oz?
Yeah, I watched a bunch of Oz, man.
I loved Oz. I thought that was a crazy show.
I don't know when I tapped in. That was, by the time I was watching Oz, it was just a random, we're airing one Oz every night at 11.
Okay.
It can be from whenever, but yeah, I saw the majority of Oz. I mean,
that was a
rough
show.
It was bad, but it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was a great HBO kind of show. I believe in HBO is my thing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you guys watch Oz at all, or?
I enjoyed, because I would pick it up from time to time, and again, like, I felt like I could kind of beam in, and yeah, there were some overarching plot lines, but they had enough fresh just for that episode where, you know, I felt like I could catch up with old stuff at the same time. I was like, hey, there's a cool new story right here. I'm liking this. So I always enjoy just catching an episode here and there. But that's to me the measure of a TV show. I got to be able to just, hey, what's going on? Oh, this was entertaining today because, you know, there's a couple things going on.
Oh, it was incredibly, episodically entertaining.
It's hard with shows that are like pure serials where it's like, now for another chapter in our long, unending saga, which we haven't even figured out the end for yet.
Oh yeah, no, Oz would just be like, oh, is the old guy still a Nazi or Beecher and Keller still porking each other?
Is Augustus still in a wheelchair?
Yeah, exactly. Is Augustus still a cripple? We're all caught up.
Like, you've got HBO Go and that's a great way to catch up on some shows. Somewhat of it is with HBO, the seasons aren't always consistent too. And so you might have, like, you know, if it's your favorite, like, Thursday night sitcom back in the 90s, you can watch the Seinfeld, Friends block and all that.
Mm-hmm.
With HBO, it's like, well, it might be on in the spring one time, then they take, like, a year and a half, 2 years off, and then they just launch the show again.
Yeah, I feel.
And so I don't always get into, like, the same groove, and I'll catch up with it online, but that's part of my issue.
Well, HBO, I think all you have to know is that something good is going to be on Sunday night. And that's why it's just so hard during the football season. Because it's just like everyone's putting out their juggernaut shows. Like, I think last night was Boardwalk Empire, 2 episodes of Homeland, which I still kind of watch. And then you have Sunday Night Football. There's a bunch of cartoons from Fox. I mean, my entire week's worth of viewing is just crap that, yeah, it trickles down from Sunday. I don't know if any of you guys are big TV guys.
I like TV, but I get like immersed in like my little pockets, my little worlds, like, you know, so I'm watching just cage fighting constantly and then like, you know, pretty much whatever's on Netflix. I'm a Netflix guy, I think.
Oh yeah, me too. Huge on Netflix. I'm trying to watch a bunch of horror movies right now, like to get into the Halloween mood, and they have bad horror movies on Netflix, or I've watched all the good ones. I don't know what's going on.
But Netflix has pretty much bad everything.
Yeah.
Like, every once in a blue moon, they'll add something there and you're like, is this a joke? Did it slip up and make it through the cut? Because most of the stuff I feel like is like those direct-to-DVD movies that they'll just put out on Netflix.
There's a lot of garbage. It's a lot of like $5 bin stuff. what I guess has set the internet ablaze. I don't know why I said that. It was the worst expression ever. A lot of people I saw online were excited by the release of Gilmore Girls, which I never watched.
I've never seen it.
Apparently my girlfriend was like obsessed with Gilmore Girls, so I've now seen like 5 or 6 Gilmore Girls episodes.
There's
nothing to follow.
It's got the alliteration. That's all I know about it. You know what I liked on Netflix? I don't know if anybody's ever had a chance to see this yet. It's a thing called BoJack Horseman. Have you heard of that?
I tried watching that.
Oh, this is
God,
funny.
Did I hate it up front. Oh man.
Go on. Why?
No, the first episode, it drove me nuts. And it's like, it has, this is something John should like written all over it.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
And there's just something about it. I don't know.
What was it? You know, tell us.
I didn't like the writing, and there's also Will Arnett, ever since the divorce from Amy Poehler, his every project just says, like, I have to pay Amy money. Like, that's what everything screams to me.
Amy Poehler doesn't come cheap.
Oh, no.
Like, don't get married in California.
That's everything that comes out of his mouth just sounds like that to me. This man no longer has much artistic freedom when it comes to picking his projects.
So if you didn't like that, did you like the increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret? Have you heard about that show?
You know, I've never given it a chance because when I was a kid, it stars David Cross.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I was obsessed with Mr. Show and David Cross and Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
You worship that show.
I used to exaggerate
how much you used
yeah,
to
worship this is,
that
this
show.
Predates DVRs, and we would record every new Mr. Show, my friends and I, and we would get high and just watch every Mr. Show. And we wouldn't like,
May or may not have been there.
Yeah. You caught a couple episodes. But that was our Friday night ritual. It was just like take drugs, watch several Mr. Shows, and then like talk about how cute Sarah Silverman was. That was like one of her first gigs. She was like 23. And I was like, she's so cute. I love you. And as time went on and I learned more about David Cross, he is a huge prick from everything I have heard from anyone in the industry. And one time... You grew up in the area. You know Don and Mike, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Don and Mike were worshipped by Patton Oswalt. Patton Oswalt is very close friends with David Cross. So one time David Cross had to promote something, and Patton was like, go on, Don and Mike. Do it. They're funny guys. You'll have a good time with it. He went on, and he could not have been a more condescending prick. I mean, Don and Mike were very willing to let things slide during interviews, and even they were like, dude, what is your problem? And at that point... Especially not only was it him being an ass, but Bob Odenkirk somehow became so lovable. Like he originally was like the hapless, talentless ass in the half. And then all of a sudden it's like Better Call Saul. You know what I mean? He does the Saul Goodman thing on Breaking Bad. And I'm trying to think of the other couple things he's done recently that were just like so wildly popular.
He did a great job as the Miller Lite spokesperson. He did a great job in those ads where it's just like he's just trying to be accessible to like the middle American. Like he was such a fringe comedy act, and to like move in that direction where it's like anybody can laugh at this guy now. I never thought that would happen with him.
Yeah, he's genuinely likable. And I remember even I read an interview maybe like 96, 97, and someone, I think this was for the AV Club, they were trying to bait David Cross. And I guess get some sort of controversial quote out of him. It's like a lot of people say, like, you're the funny one in the team. What do you have to say to that? And he just goes and says, oh, well, Bob's like really important for like organizing the business half of everything. And I'm like, could you have been a bigger dick about that? Don't you just say, no, Bob's really funny too. That just isn't true. And instead he's like, well, you have to give Bob credit because he like kind of got assigned and all that stuff. I'm like, he's not Ringo Starr. He just always came off as very unlikable.
He was also really negative towards Larry the Cable Guy. When Larry the Cable Guy was very popular during the Redneck Comedy Tour, he went out and he was just like, you know, you're not even a real comic. You're a character. You're like, that's not who you're not. You're not Dan Whitney on stage. I'm David Cross on stage.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, David Cross is very outspoken, like, to say the least.
But in dickish ways. He's just unlikable.
You know what I liked him? I liked him when he was playing these weird, like, voiceover things in these, like, Halo video game commercials. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, he was in Halo 2, at the very least. Yeah,
I was like, that was really cool. Like,
yeah, it was funny, because I was just sitting there with my friend. I'm like, oh, my God, famous people voiced this thing.
Bob Odenkirk, just to say something positive about him, another thing, he's considered to be one of like the fathers of like alt comedy, like in the LA kind of scene.
Really,
him,
Bob
Odenkirk, because of Mr. Show, because it
is
influenced.
Is he like 10 years older than Dave or something like that? Or
I don't think he's
like
that much older.
Or...
I think he may be a year or two older. Oh, okay. Maybe. I'm not 100% sure.
I know Dave's like a little older than we think, but then again, it's been 20 years since Mr. Show. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's like in his late 40s at the very
earliest. Yeah, I was
going to
say, yeah. So Mr. Show could have been his mid 20s.
I'll say this. What is their latest, biggest achievement? Like, when you look at these two guys now, and what was perhaps their most iconic role for most Americans?
Mm-hmm. Arrested Development for me, for Cross.
Yeah, for
right?
Cross.
And yeah. Then it's Saul Goodman for Odenkirk, right?
Yeah, I know which one I'd rather have on my resume.
Exactly, that's how I feel. It's just like, between the two, David Cross can say whatever he wants. Like,
oh, that's what makes me happy. I know at night, David Cross goes to bed just thinking, mother F Bob Odenkirk. Like, that's it. That consumes him.
Because, I mean, whether you like Arrested Development or not, to have that be the character that you played, like, that's not the one that I would want on my resume. That's just not where I'd want to be.
Also, by the way, overrated show. Just saying that. I know that's an arrow through your heart.
It came back on Netflix recently, right?
Yeah, it had season 4. Okay. Like, they did an original season 4 for Netflix.
And it didn't do as well as it had.
Yeah, first of all, it wasn't a big hit. Even with the people that loved the show, they didn't like it. But I look back at that show, and I'm like, why were we all so impressed by this?
That's a good question. So when I was watching Arrested Development, when it was popular, this was in around like 2006-ish. I think that's when I was kind of
a little earlier.
Maybe a little earlier. Yeah. Okay. So I was watching it then, but to just something that was really popular on USA TV at that time period that is terrible in retrospect, The Mind of Mencia.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Up All Night.
Oh, Up All Night. Yeah, that show, Mind of Mencia.
Was that Comedy Central?
That was a Comedy Central show, and it was like really when like the only thing else they had was South Park, you know?
Yeah, that was a very, very bad show, but I'm happy to say I hated it.
I thought it came off the heels of Chappelle show, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Chappelle it was like, before. Oh, Chappelle was our funny black guy. Would you like to see our funny Mexican? You know,
yes, it really was.
It was so calculated.
He went to Africa, so yeah. We gotta figure something out. But he was just like, and he was doing that.
Oh, so unwatchable.
That was the most, yeah.
I love that he does not have a career thanks to Joe Rogan.
I love Joe Rogan.
Who just dedicated his life to ruining Carlos Mencia's career.
Yeah.
Like, he was obsessed with the notion that Carlos Mencia was this comedy fraud who just stole everyone's bits. And like, Joe Rogan, before really YouTube was a thing, so it was even easy to find videos, much less like just putting an embed code in your page, he would get footage of Mencia performing a bit and then right next to it, get footage of his friend who Mencia stole it from. Performing like the same act almost verbatim.
Absolutely.
And then it'd be like, this act was performed 3 years before Mencia did it. And I mean, absolutely, that guy cannot get arrested now. I don't think I'm sure he is a touring comedian to some extent, but probably like through Texas and other like Hispanic enclaves. They're just like, yay, Hispanic comedy act. You know,
I got to meet him, talk to him a little bit last year, actually, when he came to the improv.
And now he's known as Carlos Trueheart? Or?
No. I saved him. I converted him back to something. No, his act is a lot different now. And he's like, believe it or not, he's like maybe like 12% body fat. He's like very thin, trim.
Oh, I hate it when the fat comedians lose weight and they're like, I'm back.
Jeez. It's such a like a positive spin on his material.
It's
now.
So bad.
He like, he's very like, I love my family. I love my daughter. Talks about God a lot. Very, very preachy.
Ugh.
He's born again. Carlos has.
So what's funny about him now?
Yeah, I was gonna say, was it?
You know what the thing is? This dude, he's actually really, really, like, as far as working at a comedy club and being a comic
myself.
Probably
great to be around. He's like nice as hell, but yeah.
Yeah, well, he's actually like a really, really talented performer.
Yeah.
But like, he just didn't have any, he had like some kind of like pathology, like like you lie a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And he would steal from people. Like, he was a sociopath, I think, essentially.
He was. He's a cool dude, but he was completely sociopathic. Yeah.
Something that doesn't
go
away.
He used to kidnap kids, but no, he's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I guess.
What, you're saying that
I'm trying to play the both sides for Carlos.
But what you're putting out there sounds like he's a really nice and talented guy. he just really couldn't write jokes. And I'm thinking, like, for a comedian, that could be an issue.
It was, and he would just steal people's stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I guess the logic is, like, I'm a great performer, but I just need material. And I'm like, dude, pay people for that then.
He went crazy on, like, this Marc Maron episode.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, some of that episode was in this movie called, like, I Am Comic.
Okay.
And, like, if you ever have a chance, just pull it up. Like, he was talking about, like, you better run, man. You go into, if I'm in a comedy club and you're on stage and you say something even remotely funny, I'm taking that and I'm going to make it mine because that's what I do. And maybe I take it, maybe I didn't steal it, but whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to put my name on it and it's a hit, bitch. And he says like that.
And that's like so funny unless that's actually what he's
doing. But he means it and his eyes are all crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. No, I'd be like Ray Rice, like, man, if my woman gets out of line. And everyone's like, ah, Ray. And then you just see the video. Yeah.
Yabba-da, yabba-da, yabba-da.
Yeah. And then now you're just like, oh. Oh, that wasn't a joke. Oh,
no. Jeez.
So he might not steal bits and all of that, but Gabriel Iglesias, I feel like, fills that Mencia role to me as, like, just the guy who has to be the token Hispanic who's just making the unfunny jokes. And I don't think I've laughed once at his
you don't like. I don't even know who that is.
You don't like Fluffy?
Oh, yeah. Fatso. That guy.
Yeah, he just released a theater movie, like a movie, like in the movie theater. Yeah. You can watch him doing stand-up.
Like Eddie Murphy
act,
Raw
right?
style.
Yeah, just his act. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You don't like him?
Oh, not a
man.
Fan.
Oh, okay, okay.
He's okay. Yeah. I don't know.
There isn't really a big Hispanic comedian right now in America, is there?
I mean, other than him, because Mencia was taken down the peg.
I guess he got taken out, and then there was a guy that won Last Comic Standing a couple years ago. His name was Felipe Esparza.
Oh, I thought we were going to go deep on the Dat Fan talk.
Dat Fan.
Yeah. Oh,
but
gosh.
Dat Fan's another one. I guess
the Vietnamese comic. I don't like, you don't like the ethnic comics,
that's
apparently.
Exactly what it's not about that. It's the leaning on the ethnic comics.
This is Meckel Heimenberg. I'm not like a fan.
See, like, when Dat Fan would just lean on his accents, like, what if you say your same material, but just with your actual voice?
I watched one episode.
Mom, that fan, that fan.
That fan, that fan.
I remember one episode of that, and it was him talking about escaping the killing fields and crying. And I'm like, how is this comedic? My God. This is sadder than the Joy Luck Club. What the hell?
But wait, didn't Dat Fan beat out Josh Blue? Was it that season, or did Josh Blue win?
He was,
too?
He was eventually season won. Yeah.
He did win one season for sure.
But, Dat Fan beat Ralphie May, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But I thought Ralphie May's material was better. And speaking of, like you said, like the fat comics, he tried that whole thing where he tried to lose some weight and all and shift his act away from being a fat guy. And I don't know.
He's a great comic, though. Ralphie May is genuinely.
I do enjoy Ralphie May.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to just make it a comedy-heavy comic.
No, that's fine. Honestly, we just, you know, bless around and...
Speaking of podcasts, though, and Mencia and whatnot, like, Rogan is, like, my favorite, like, comic and podcaster. I'm, like, I'm what a lot of people would consider to be a jomosexual.
I forgot that term.
I wasn't into him because of Fear Factor, either. Like, I was into him because I was literally trying to learn how to, you know, do comedy as a young comic, and I stumbled upon, like, that stuff, you know, you know, that fight they had at the Comedy Store, and I started listening to his material, and he's like a pretty cool dude, and I like all the MMA stuff too.
Well, so yeah, if you're big in MMA, you're gonna like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
For my money, I really like just comedic talk on air, and Joe Rogan's like a little too,
he's kind
of psychological, because then I sound like an idiot. But yeah, there's a lot of episodes that do not go for a laugh, and it's like, I'm just interviewing this guy, then we're going to talk about, you know, taking mushroom caps.
We're talking about mushrooms and opening up the the Akashic Records and going to the astral plane.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, where's the dick joke in the cowbell? You know, I mean, but Rogan's tight. I'm trying to think of, like, just actual pods I like. I think I shy away from comedy completely when it comes to other pods. I'm big on NPR stuff.
Like Great Radio Lab or something
I'll do Planet Money. I'm a big This American Life guy.
Ooh.
Can't get enough Ira Glass.
Or you could get some of the Jellyvision Show, which
is
the podcast that I'm on. Oh!
There you go. In fact, I think we can call it a day. I was, No, we got like a couple minutes left. Let me hit the outro music, which is going to be such a pain in the ass doing it with my left hand.
This was a lot of fun.
Sliding mouse pad. I'm glad you liked, man. It was a bit of a crowded house, but, I'm glad you guys both came in. Hold on, Surf Rider. There we go. There we go. That's how you do a professional outro. All right, folks. This was Papa's Basement. I'm John Papagiorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter if you want to get a hold of me. Joined by Howard. Howard, Blood, you are now what on Twitter? I'm not.
I'm at Vinnie Van Gogh, promoting the Indiegogo campaign that I just started up, so I'll have you tweeting out about that later.
I will tweet links so that you can give money to Howard so that he can not get kicked out of the house by his girlfriend. Tim Trueheart, good having you on, man.
Thank you. Hopefully
we can do this again sometime. It's at Tim Trueheart on Twitter, and you also do the Jellyvision show, and that's at Jellyvision Live, I believe, on Twitter. Yes, sir.
See,
I remember things. Matt Doyen, appreciate the invite, sir. Thank you for coming in all the way from Funchester, as my friend calls it. Very clever, I know. You want to get a hold of Matt on Twitter, it's at the Doyenian. Like I said, a long-lost Kardashian thing, D-O-Y-O-N-I-A-N. If you want to download Papa's Basement, you can always go to inpapasbasement.com. You can also do iTunes or Stitcher. Just look up Papa's Basement, and you'll find a subscription link right there. And if you, for whatever reason, want to do the football show, and why did I say whatever reason? You want to listen to our football show because it's entertaining and American, goddammit. That's at PF Pod for Papa's Football Podcast, pfpod.com. And last but not least, again, iTunes and Stitcher. Look up Papa's Football Podcast. You'll find all the subscription links that you'll need. I guess that's it, guys. Thank you again.
Thank you.
We are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.